Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland about what to do when you don't know what to do. Think about it. First, we're supposed to wear a mask. Then we're not supposed to wear a mask. Then we're supposed to stay 6 feet apart. Now we're shoulder to shoulder doing protest. What are we supposed to do? This is a great message. Now, keep in mind that Sharon Baptist Church is open again for services on Sunday morning at 10:45. If you can't make it, you can watch us live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
A question. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You ever thought about that? So I want to preach on today. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I don't know about you, but I've been there numbers of times. I'm sure that we all have. And we're in a situation like that today as a nation and probably as individuals too. So let's think about that question. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Turn with me, please, in your scriptures to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm just going to read three verses. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. It'll help us understand what to do when you don't know what to do. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. I sincerely believe what we have going on in our nation today is because our nation has departed the Lord. And we're seeing the evil that's going on in our nation today. But these words that I have just read were written, you know, long, long, long time ago. These words were spoken from the lips of Solomon's mother. Who was Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba.
Wise woman in her own ways. She'd lived a lot of years. She had accumulated a lot of wisdom. And so she would want her son Solomon, as he went out to face the world, to have all the knowledge that he could possibly have and the greatest wisdom that she could impart to him to be sure that he had all the, you might say, equipment, credentials, if you will, to face the world. Now, these words that she spoke to him were not just to Solomon in those days. They were for him, but they transcend time, you see, until today. They're just as applicable to you and I today as they were to him in those days. These verses just have a volume of wisdom to share with us, a lot of things we can learn and be able to share with others today. Well, so here we are today, facing what we're facing, experiencing what we're experiencing in the world, globally, and at home with all kinds of social unrest, wouldn't we all agree that we need some wisdom to know how to face the world today and the circumstances and conditions we find ourselves in? We have to admit we don't know what to do. I'm sure you'd agree. We don't know what to do. How do we face what we're facing today? Would you have ever imagined in your life that we'd be facing what we're facing today? Never would have thought of a world pandemic called COVID-19. Never would have thought our whole nation's in a social and an economic unrest as well. Never would have thought these things would happen to our nation. In fact, these things are threatening, if you will, the very social structure upon which our nation was built. They're threatening our social relationships of one with another. So, what do we do in all this? We must admit that we really don't know what to do. Do we? We must admit that we don't have the answers, do we? Certainly we know the politicians don't have the answers. It's pretty evident. Everybody knows that. And the scientific communities, as hard as they're working, I mean, relentlessly, they're working to try to find some kind of vaccine or cure for this epidemic. They don't know what to do. They're working with all their knowledge that they have. So the politicians don't know what to do. Science doesn't know what to do. The medical community, bless their hearts, they are our heroes in these days. They are doing all they know what to do and how they're trying to their best to do the best they can to keep us safe. They don't know what to do. And we've got to admit, we don't know either. So, knowing all those things, where do we get the answers? Or are there any answers to get? Where do we turn today? Is there any hope for modern day civilization? Or are we on a collision course with a fate and a fatality? Well, I believe the words that Solomon's mother Bathsheba gave him, and Solomon penned these words later on, I believe there's a wealth of answers here in these few short verses. That'll help us. They'll be profitable to us in these days in which we're facing today. So let's go back to the Word of God for some answers. Let's go back to God's Word for some guidance through these terrible things that are going on today. There are probably many more things we could share, but I see three major movements in these verses that I have read to us today. I want to look at these things. They contain volumes of wisdom to help us through these things we're facing today. We're facing a nation in fear. Thank God, Pam, everybody's not in fear, but generally our nation's in fear. They're in doubt, they're in despair, in division, all kinds of things that are facing us. But allow the Holy Spirit of God from God's Word to help us through these times with assurance and comfort to know that God has brought us to this point and God will bring us through. Amen? So let me share with you three things we need to do since we're facing what we're facing today. In these verses, I find, first of all, the thing we need to do, we must all of us acknowledge the sovereignty of our God. Listen to these verses again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. To many people, if you listen to most of the news media, they would think it's out of control. They wouldn't even put God in the equation whatsoever. But I want you to know, it's not out of control. It's never been out of control. The COVID-19 didn't slip up on God's blind side. He doesn't have one. The unrest we're going through didn't surprise God. He knew about it before it ever happened, and He's going to know about it when it's ending in some point in time. All the problems we're facing are under God's control today. Dark days, difficult days, days of despair, days of division. All these things are under the control of God. If we believe that, and I do, I hope that you do, that God's in control, God is sovereign, which means God can do what He wants to do without your vote or mine. God doesn't ask your opinion before He acts. God is totally in control. God's totally sovereign. He and His will, He moves. So how do you acknowledge the sovereignty of God in your personal life? If you believe that, it means something to you. How do you personally acknowledge the sovereignty of God in your life? There's ways to do it. I see two particular things here. First of all, each of us must acknowledge the sovereignty of God in our souls. The saving knowledge of God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In this we find rest, and only in coming unto Him and recognizing Him, giving our souls to Him, giving our hearts to Him, acknowledging God is sovereign, and Jesus died on the cross, as Pam sang, and shed His precious blood, and died on the cross, that God could offer to you and God could offer to me in His sovereign grace, salvation. So the first thing we must do is to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in offering us salvation. He didn't have to. He wasn't obligated to. We didn't deserve it. But God in His sovereign will chooses to love us. And those words were written in red when Jesus died on the cross. When we don't know what to do, please understand this. God knows what to do. He's always known what to do. Never has been a time when God didn't know what to do. It's absolutely in His control. God knows. So the first thing we need to do, if you haven't done that, acknowledge His sovereignty. Give Him your soul. Give Him your heart. Trust Jesus Christ with all that is within us. And we'll find the peace. We'll find the rest that we need in times like this. But what comes after that? When you acknowledge the sovereignty of God in His saving grace, giving Him your soul, what then? You continue to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in His sustaining sovereignty in your lives, our lives, day by day. Let me ask us a question. Do you think our God has brought us thus far in this pandemic and all that we're facing, do you think our God has brought us thus far to desert us now? No, He hasn't. And no, He won't. The sustaining sovereignty of God is why we're still here today. We didn't do it ourselves. We couldn't have done it ourselves. God has brought us. God has sustained us unto this very moment. God has brought us here. Let me give you an example of that sustaining sovereignty of God. Think about Israel. All the calamities, all the problems, all the sin and rejection that they had leached toward God. God forgave them. God brought them from where He promised Abraham He'd give His children the promised land. He brought them all the way to the door of the promised land. Did He desert them there? No. He brought them in just like He said. So God has promised us. Jesus has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Through many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. 'Tis God's grace has brought us thus far. And God's grace will lead us home. Amen. Well, God never failed to honor the promises that He made to Abraham and Israel's forefathers. God will never fail us, fool us, or forsake us. Some people seem to think that maybe the sovereignty of God has run out in our days. I want to assure you it has not, and it never shall, never has. So we're admonished, first of all, from these verses, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what we've got to acknowledge, the sovereignty of God. Give Him your soul. Love His sustaining sovereignty in your life. But I think there's another thing I see in this passage that we should do, not just acknowledge the sovereignty of God in our souls, in our sustaining our lives, but I see a second thing we must need to do. We must learn to avoid the tendency of man. Did you listen to verse 5 carefully? And lean not unto your own understanding. Listen to me, beloved. When the sovereignty of God is not acknowledged, realized in persons' lives, all mankind has a tendency, and they will make wrong decisions, and they will make mistakes. What do you think those mistakes would be? That avoiding the tendency. What are the tendencies of man? What are they? Has our nation made them? Have you made them as an individual yourself? Do you know what they are? Would you like to know what they are? Why don't we see the wisdom that is really in our faces? Why don't we see the wisdom that's before us from these verses of Scripture? What are the tendencies of mankind we must avoid? Well, it tells you right here. It tells you, first of all, we must avoid the tendency to decide to trust in perverted wisdom from the world. Where do you think we're getting all the wisdom we hear today? You turn on this program, this newscast, that podcast, this, that, and the other. You have all kinds of so-called wisdom to share about things that we need to do. They're quick to give us quick fixed answers, aren't they? Well, I want to ask you, how well is that working out for us? Not very well, is it? But the tendency of man, first of all, is this: to decide to trust in perverted worldly wisdom. We've got to remember, beloved, what John, the apostle, wrote when John said, and he summed up the whole wisdom of the world, and here's what he said. He said, all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So if you decide to trust in perverted worldly wisdom, we're on the wrong course, amen? We certainly are. Well, if you trust worldly wisdom, and it's perverted to say the least, the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the sight of God. If you choose to follow perverted worldly wisdom, the conditions we're facing are only going to get worse, not better. So we got to avoid that tendency to decide to trust in worldly wisdom from those all around us. But there's another thing we've got to do in avoiding the tendencies of man. Not just decide to accept worldly wisdom. We've got to stop depending upon our own personal wisdom. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, we'll have to admit that we would try, and we do try with all that's within us, to solve our problems and our complexities that we face today. But we must understand, we don't have the wisdom, do we? It's not within us. It's not within the world as well to solve these things out, to figure them out in our own. Personal wisdom rules out the fear of God. Did you hear me? Personal wisdom rules out the fear of God. How much fear of God do you see in our nation today? Very little, don't we? Praise God if you find any. I hope it's in the church. But worldly wisdom, personal wisdom, just rules out the fear of God. You see, at best, you and I, all worldly wisdom, personal wisdom, at best, all we can see is just little bits and pieces of any situation, of any condition, of anything we face. We can only see just bits and pieces of it at best. Would you agree? But see, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, God sees from before the beginning until after the future. God is sovereign, past, present, and future. God knows all about everything that's going on. That's why we need to put our trust in Him and avoid the tendency of man to decide to look at worldly wisdom and to depend on personal wisdom. You can't depend on those, but you can depend on God. Amen. So then, these words of wisdom teach us that we must acknowledge the sovereignty of God in our lives. We must avoid the tendencies of mankind. But there's a third thing I see in these verses. We're to await the activity of God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, God, and He shall direct thy paths. So, beloved, where do we go from here? From this moment forward, where do we go? We're admonished in these words of wisdom to just await the activity of God. Since we don't know what to do, and God does know what to do, how much wiser would it be if we just wait on God? Amen? Just wait on God. Await the activity of God. Now, what would that be? What kind of activity of God should we be waiting for and looking for? I think there's many things, but here's a couple things I see in these verses. We're to await the activity of God. First of all, what do we get? We get His presence. He shall direct thy paths. He didn't say the government shall direct thy paths, or politicians, scientists, medical people, anybody else. He said God will direct our past. We're promised His presence. You've all heard the saying, I know that you have. Well, we're all in this together. Well, we are. But I want you to know something else. Jesus is in it with us too. We're not by ourselves. And He's the one that's going to be guiding us through this thing in whatever way He so sees fit. A lot of people think that God has just resorted back to heaven and sequestered Himself, quarantined Himself, if you will, somewhere in heaven. And God has just abandoned us at the crossroads of helplessness and hopelessness and despair and defeat. That kind of thinking is erroneous. Why do you say that, preacher? I'll tell you why I say that. Because God is omnipresent. It means that God is everywhere at all times. He always has and He always will be. He promises us His presence. Didn't Jesus say in the book of Matthew, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age? Didn't He say, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you? Didn't He say, I'll never fail you, I'll never forsake you? Listen, He's as near you today as the next breath that you breathe. He's as near you today as the next heartbeat you receive. If He, the Spirit of the living God, is in you, if you've been saved, the Spirit of God is in you. God in the Spirit is in you. He'll never leave you. Once He comes in to reside, yes. But He comes in to reign on the throne of your life and to rule your life. So you see, we're promised. If you await the activity of God, He's promised us His presence. Well, that's one thing I can learn to expect. And wait on the activity of God, because I know He's with us. But there's another thing I see here. Not just His presence with us, but His promise to us. He shall direct thy paths. Does that mean then, Pastor, that there may be a way out of this? Does it mean that there might be a possibility some way that this is going to come to an end? Yes, it does. I promise you that it does. Yes, it does. You mean we're going to have some end to all we're facing today and all the unrest in our nation today? Yes, there's an end to it. Yet we must remember, we don't know what to do. It's not within me. It's not within you. Not within mankind itself. We don't know how to find the way out of it. But God already has it. He shall direct thy paths. We don't know where the path is. If we did, we still don't know how to find it, how to get there. But God said He would direct our paths. The Bible does teach us, doesn't it, that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is destruction. What are we seeing today? Destruction. Which tells me that mankind's on the wrong path. He's made the wrong decision. He's going the wrong direction. That's why you see all this destruction that you see going on today. Well, then if that's the case that we see, what's God talking about when He says, He shall direct thy paths? Well, you know the paths of God are not destruction. So then what are the paths of God that He wants to lead us in? Well, Psalm 23 tells us, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So you see, the whole issue, beloved, before us is actually pretty simple. Since we don't know what to do, we've got to trust in the one who does know what to do. Simple. Three little things we need to do, but major things indeed. Number one, personally, we've got to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in our own life. Our nation needs to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, but our nation is not doing that in our souls and in our lives. And we must avoid the tendencies of mankind to decide to accept worldly, perverted wisdom and to depend upon our own personal wisdom. You can't trust your own wisdom, nor the world's. We've got to avoid that. Acknowledge the sovereignty of God, avoid the tendencies of man, and then just await the activity of God. And God said, I'll be with you. I am with you. We've been more or less sequestered, you might say, at home for the last several months and a half, not being able to come back and worship together as we'd love to do, as we're beginning today. But God's been with us individually in our homes. God is with us today in our congregation. And believe it or not, God is hovering over this very nation that we're a part of today, as the Holy Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep before the world as we know ever existed. The Holy Spirit of God broods over this world, begging people, entreating people, drawing people to acknowledge God. Avoid these things and wait on God's activity. And I promise you, I don't know when. Only God can say when. And I don't know how. Only God can say how. But I do know this. Our God shall prevail. And we have the victory already. Because Paul said, thanks be to God who giveth. That means he's already given it. It's in the process of going on day by day. And when these verses said he shall, that's present tense, perfect action, which means God's in the process of guiding our paths now. It may look pretty dark to a lot of folks, but you know something? The Christian's days are brighter than they've ever been. I'm looking for the Lord to come. That may be the way God solves it. It may be why the Spirit of God is brooding over our nation, begging us, drawing us, wooing us to God before it's absolutely too late. Has our nation crossed God's deadline? I don't know. I can't say that. But I can say this. If you'll acknowledge the sovereignty of God in your life, if you'll avoid these tendencies of mankind, if you'll just await the activity of God, I promise you, listen to me, we'll not be disappointed. Not now. Listen, not ever. I want to close with this thought to ask you personally, as I've asked myself in developing this message, where do we stand in relationship to these truths that I've just shared? Where do you stand in relationship to your acknowledging the sovereignty of God in your life? You see, God gives us a free will, although God's sovereign. He won't make us be saved. He gives us a will. Like we're free moral agents, which means we have the ability to choose God's sovereignty in our life. Where are you in relationship to that? Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you haven't, I suggest you do it today. I admonish you to do it today. And we who have given our heart to Jesus maybe many years ago, we've got to acknowledge His sovereignty in our lives, sustaining us day by day. A lot of us are retiring age or older. How did we get this far? God's sovereignty in our lives. And we've got to avoid. Are you avoiding the tendencies of man, or are you trusting in worldly wisdom? Are you trusting in your own wisdom? Don't do that. Those are mistakes. Just await the activity of God. You know, it excites me in one respect to just wait and just think, what's God going to do? Like the little boy said one time, God works in mischievous ways. The Bible says He works in mysterious ways, but it might be mischievous to us nonetheless. I know my God's at work. I know He's working in this and through this. I know He'll bring us through. We regret with sadness in our heart of what's going on. It's because our nation has turned us back on God. If we don't turn back to God, things will not get better. They'll get worse. But they're going to get better for Christians. When He comes or I go, whichever takes place first, we got the victory. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening to us today. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We're open now for services Sunday mornings at 10:45. If you can't make it, you can always watch our live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Or if you want to check out our website and find out more about us, our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.